Welcome back to the Modern Court Reporter podcast, where we discuss all things court reporting. As always, I'm Dan Malgren.
And I'm Darlene Williams.
In today's episode, Darlene and I are excited to host our first discussion for and by voice writers. We are joined by two voice writers with varying time in the field. Our two guests today are Kelly Walters and Christine Wessner. Instead of my normal introductions, today I'm going to invite both of you to give our listeners a little biography of yourselves, including your locale, the school you graduated from, and how long you've been reporting. Let's start with you, Kelly.
My name is Kelly Walters. I'm about 45 minutes from Cleveland, Ohio. I graduated from Cuyahoga Community College, and I've been voice writing for a little over a year. I started in August of 2020.
Great.
Wonderful. And what about you, Christine?
My name is Christine Wessner. I am a court reporting voice writer as well. I started at College of Court Reporting in March of 2020, finished my program in about a year, and then I have been working with Planet Defos since August, so it's been about two and a half months.
Great. Well, that brings us to a great place to start, ladies. Thanks for joining us. First of all, let's start with Christine. What made you decide to go to voice writing as opposed to steno writing, which is the traditional? When people think about a court reporter, they think of that little funky little machine. What was the tipping point for you that made you first get into court reporting and then decide to do the voice program?
So I met a lovely woman named Melanie Sontag years and years ago, and she loves to talk everyone's ear off about court reporting. And she did the same to me. It was very eye-opening, and about a month later, I decided to go into steno at the same school. But steno was not working for me in terms of time. I was not able to dedicate as much time as many others before me have done so, and unfortunately, it just didn't work out for me to the point where I withdrew from school. Okay. And after that, I talked with a couple people. I still found that I wanted to do court reporting. So after talking with my school, they mentioned voice writing, and here I am today.
That's awesome. Well, we're glad to have you back in the field. We're so glad you didn't walk away permanently. That's a good thing. So Kelly, how about you? What made you get into court reporting, and how did you decide to do voice over steno?
Well, back in probably in my 20s, I was really interested in court reporting. My mom and I used to watch court shows all the time, and the courtroom was the most fascinating place in the world to me. And that's what I wanted to do. I didn't want to be a lawyer. I didn't want to do any of that. I wanted to be the court reporter because I felt like she got all the information. She was in all the goods. So I went to steno school in my 20s, and I was working at the time as well, an office job. And in my 20s, I felt like I was just so busy. I didn't have kids or anything yet, but I felt like I was so busy and I just couldn't get the hours in that I needed to get in. And it felt impossible. And so I left school and I continued in my corporate job for a while. And then after I had my kids, I knew I needed to do something and I got into proofreading. So I did proofreading for about 5 years. And after those 5 years, I'd kind of had it with that. And I thought, I still really want to do this court reporting thing. So I started looking into it and found out that there was not a new way of doing it. It was actually an old way of doing it, but it was something that I felt was more attainable than steno. And I went for it. And it was like the best decision I've made in a long time.
That's awesome. And I have to admit, that's a background I did not know about either one of you, that you both had started out in steno. So I say that makes you experts on that transition point. And I just think that it's incredible that you both found your way back to the profession, having actually stopped at one point. And so this is great. Mm-hmm. And so I guess the next part that I want to talk about is, having that steno background, how was the transition to voice? Did you find yourself confused trying to think steno instead of trying to learn this new technology of voice? Was it a real hurdle for either of you? Christine?
Go ahead, Christine.
Sure. It wasn't so much a hurdle, but converting things back in my head from Steno. So I'm thinking to speak in Steno, but that's obviously not going to work. So
correct.
A lot of it was trying to reshift my thought process back to regular speaking and not worrying so much about the Steno outlines and things like that. I do miss it, mm-hmm. but it is something that the transition, once I got out of thinking in Steno, it was a lot easier to get through the program.
Yeah. How about you, Kelly?
It was such a long period of time because I was in my 20s when I started the Steno school. And when I started voice writing, I was in my 40s. And so it was just such a long period of time. And I felt like voice writing was such a natural, you already know the language, you already know, you know, the English language, and that's what you use in voice writing. I found it to be a very natural transition for me to do it. And I've loved it. And here I am.
That's great. Kelly, how long did it take you to get through the voice program?
It took me 2 years. I have 3 kids at home. So mm-hmm. Time was a little bit of a challenge. I think I could have gotten through it a little bit faster, but I also have a family to worry about. So sure. I had to kind of balance the two.
Sure. Absolutely. Did you find that corporate background that you had coming back to court reporting, do you feel like that gave you a different perspective on court reporting coming back to it at that time after having this other career?
I don't think so. I mean, I feel like the corporate background that I had did nothing but enhance what I do now as far mm-hmm. as being organized and being on time and meeting deadlines. And I think that just really added to some of the things that I can bring to the table for this job now.
Sure. Yeah. Christine, did you have prior work experience before going into court reporting?
Oh, yeah. I did a couple food manufacturing jobs and some online work, too, for an online school. And I would say the food manufacturing job, strangely enough, is probably the closest to something like this because I actually worked on, I was a document specialist.
Okay.
So I worked on SOPs and different templates and things like that. So a lot of what I'm doing now kind of fits with that. But I actually have a background, I have a bachelor's in English. So this was a natural fit for me too.
Obviously. So why am I proofreading for you?
Yeah, I can take your job.
There you go. That's very interesting. I'm glad to learn that because I think it helps our listeners understand that there's always something in your background you can draw from that will always play a role in your everyday career as a court reporter. We do so many different types of work that all that knowledge that you've gained throughout anything else that you've done just helps to lend itself, A, to the vocabulary, but B, to the work ethic, you know, to be able to meet deadlines, to know that you have these time constraints that you have to work within. I think it's hard. I know for Christine, that transition in the beginning from, you know, being a Planet Institute student and producing transcripts that way, and then suddenly now having deadlines to meet. I know that originally, you know, like, it's kind of overwhelming. And I know I face this with a lot of students who are making that transition as well, learning that time management. And Dan and I have put together another podcast about time management. And so hopefully, you know, everyone listening to this podcast can go back and pick up that one too, and it'll help through that transition process. But given that we have two different time periods involved here, Christine, is there anything you'd like to pick Kelly's brain about? Anything that she's picked up in this first year? Or Kelly, advice that you'd like to offer Christine, who's still relatively new getting started?
Aside from what I haven't already picked from her brain.
I was going to say, Christine and I have worked together, so we've spoke before about different things. So mm-hmm. I see she's got a little microphone holder there.
That was recommended very kindly by Kelly.
There you go.
These have been it's been a lifesaver. I love this thing. And I've told several people now, I don't know if I can go back to holding my mask because this thing has just been so wonderful. Like, it's not flimsy. It's really sturdy. So it's been a lifesaver.
That's a good point. Let's talk about the technology side of things because I don't have that expertise. I was always a steno writer. I was a steno writer before voice came into the picture. That's how old I am. But I think it's important for our listeners to understand some of the technology that you're working with and some of the things that you've found very, very beneficial to you. Like clearly this microphone holder is a big plus. So, or a mask holder. So give us some more talk about the technology side of things. Things that you've learned that were really important and striking to you from the aspect of the intern side to actually working, like how to build your dictionary and things like that. What kinds of things did you find the technology brought that you could enhance once you were actually out there working or you could learn in a different way? Uh-oh, that's a stumper.
That is a stumper. I know one thing that I have really spent a lot of time and really invested in has been the audio side of things. I've worked pretty closely with the sound professionals and have a really nice setup now. I'm not sure how I did it before they kind of came into the picture, and they've been so wonderful to work with. But they've got a lot of different really nice kits that I've got. I've got a Zoom kit now, but I think I'd even like to enhance that even more somewhere in the future here.
That's awesome.
But that's been the biggest game changer for me as far as my audio goes. And then this is actually a phone holder.
Okay.
I've got it clipped to the arm of my chair.
Okay.
And that's between those two things, I don't know that I could do my job without it.
That's good. How about you, Christine?
A second monitor was probably the most convenient tool, or it made things more convenient for me in terms of being able to manage online depositions. Mm-hmm. So I do appreciate the second monitor. And I guess I do have to pick your brain more, Kelly, because I will need some feedback about sound professionals.
Oh, absolutely. My gosh, they're wonderful.
Go ahead and talk about that, because I know that there's been conversation from our steno reporters about the equipment that sound professionals offers. So yeah, by all means, go ahead, give them a good plug there, Kelly.
So the Zoom kit that I have, I have one end that plugs into my Zoom computer, and then that runs from the Zoom computer into my Eclipse computer, and the audio records directly from my Zoom computer into my Eclipse. And the audio is probably 100 times better than anything that you're even getting from a tech. Like, it is wonderful. For the most part anymore, I don't even use the tech's audio. I mean, I always have it for backup purposes, but I use my audio. That's my main audio. And it's just been wonderful. And if I've ever had any issues with my audio at all, or I've wanted to add on to it but not sure what to get, because once you get on their website, you can kind of get lost. There's so much stuff. So you get on their website and you can schedule an appointment, and then they send you a text and say, I'm going to be calling you in 5 minutes, and then they call, and you actually have a one-on-one time slot with them where they can actually dial into both of your computers and walk you through any technical issues you're having.
That's awesome.
So yeah, they've been really good. I mean, I'm really impressed with their service and all of their products that I've gotten so far.
And that's the same feedback we get from the steno reporters too, especially when we came into this whole remote situation with the Zoom platform. I think they were the first ones to step up, and they put this kit together that thusly titled the Zoom kit. Mm-hmm. And our reporters are all over that. And they're the ones that have claimed this is just a game changer for every online job that they do. And that's really incredible. It says a lot about their program.
Yeah. And speaking of coming into this in this remote setting with COVID, what have been your biggest challenges with remote setups, and how have you been sort of overcoming them?
Where do you want me to start? Do you want me to start or Christine?
Well, why don't you start, Kelly? Because Christine's just been in the remote setting. She hasn't been in a live setting yet. So why don't you tell us about that?
Well, to be honest with you, I haven't been in a live setting either.
Is that right?
Okay. That is right. I have been strictly remote since I've started. I love doing remote. But there are some challenges. We do have attorneys who don't know how to do it. We do have a lot of witnesses and deponents that don't know how to use it, don't understand that they can't speak over each other. I mean, that's got to be the biggest challenge for any of us right now, is the fact that everybody thinks they're in a setting like this where you can, it's just kind of an open conversation. And it's very, very hard to relay, because it happens so often.
Yes.
It's very hard to relay how important it is that you don't speak over each other, because I cannot get the transcript down.
Correct.
When you're speaking over each other. So that is definitely my biggest challenge. I think that's one that if I were in person, that would not happen as often, because you can see each other, you're with each other, you can read the room and know when somebody else is getting ready to speak. And
yes.
So
very helpful. What about you, Christine? Has there been something about the remote setting that you think, boy, if I was in person, this would be different?
It's usually the beginning of the conversation when everyone's trickling in via Zoom. You don't have that kind of intimacy.
Chit-chat.
Exactly. Yes. You don't have that lull where, okay, you know, so what are you doing this weekend or anything like that. Yeah. And I'm a sociable person, so I feel like that I am missing out on that. I'm not complaining. I'm enjoying my Zoom depositions very much. They are quite the learning experience for me. But I think in time, I would want to go back I would want to go in person just to get that experience as well.
Sure.
This is just forever.
Right. Exactly. So, Kelly, do you have long-term goals as far as wanting to go back to or wanting to go to in-person jobs? Or do you think Zoom is your avenue?
I really enjoy the Zoom setup. Like I said, I have a family, and so they, no matter how old they get, I mean, my oldest is 15. I feel like no matter how old they get, they still need me. My 15-year-old still needs rides everywhere. And so I feel like I've got the best of both worlds, where I can still be at home and be here for my family, and I can work and make a good living. I think this is where I want to be. I'm comfortable here, finally. I feel like it took a while for me to be really comfortable, but I'm really comfortable where I'm at. And I'm not saying I would never go in person, but I really like it here. I'm comfortable here.
So let me ask you both another question about the remote setting. And I know that I get this question a lot from our students. How do you handle exhibits? How do you mark exhibits? And I know a lot of our jobs, we have techs on who handle that aspect of it. But when they are not on the call, can you explain to our students how to mark exhibits in a remote setting? Have either of you had to do it?
Yes.
Oh, you both have. Okay, yeah. Good. Kelly or Christine, why don't you tell us how you've handled it?
Well, they do submit the files to a certain link, and then I have access to the files themselves. It's as easy as putting like a sticker, but like a virtual sticker, onto the item itself. And it's a little tricky, like in the beginning, just because you're not used to all the moves that you have to do to make this official. But once you get the hang of it, it's really not too bad, you know. And a lot of the times too, because of Zoom and because of the remote aspect of things, a lot of the attorneys have already done the work, which I'm sure we're okay with, you know.
Absolutely. That's awesome. Do you either one use an app for that virtual sticker? Or do you use the Planet Depot's provided material? I know they have a link for how they mark the exhibits, but when there's not a tech, do you have a different app that you use for that purpose?
I use Adobe Okay. Acrobat Reader, and I just utilize like a feature in Adobe where you can transplant that sticker onto the item itself.
Okay, very good.
I think that's the same thing that I use. There was something I downloaded called freeexhibitsticker.com or something like that.
Okay.
And it does use Adobe, and you just kind of stick it on there. But in my experience, for the most part, I've had a couple of attorneys who've wanted me to mark, and you know, I do the same thing as Christine, but for the most part lately, they have been pretty good about handling their own exhibits when there's no tech, which has been wonderful.
So another question along that same line, and this goes back to not being a voice writer. When an attorney asks you to read back, do you play back your audio for them, or do you play it back and listen and then just ask the question? How do you handle that? Kelly?
For the most part, I trust my work, and so I can usually just go back and look at my transcript, and it's there.
Okay.
I don't think I've ever had to actually listen to anything back. I've always been able to go back to the transcript.
Okay. So my understanding then is that as you're using your voice program, it's translating any clips in the real-time setting, mm-hmm. and so you're looking at a real-time transcript just like a steno would, correct?
Mm-hmm. Right, that's correct. And then the hands-free allows me to edit while I'm going as well.
Okay.
So if there is a mistake and I have time to fix it in the midst of the transcript, then I can do that right then and there.
Okay.
And that saves me a lot of time editing at the end.
Sure, sure. Christine, when you went from being a Planet Institute student, graduating, and now becoming a reporter, what's the one thing that stuck out to you as you felt like you were the least prepared for?
Least prepared for.
Was there something that jumped out on a job and you're like, oh, I didn't know about this. I didn't cover this. I don't know what I'm supposed to do.
I mean, there's always something, but I think the thing that sticks out the most that I felt I wasn't prepared for are a recent job where there's no interpreter,
and okay.
it's a very heavy accent that I'm having difficulty with. Mm-hmm. I mean, no school really can prepare you for that. That's just the nature of the beast. So that was definitely kind of an eye-opener when I had that to deal with, because before I had done jobs with interpreters, but not without, and there's a language barrier, there's the accent, there's so much to unpack that it makes it a little nerve-wracking. So,
did you find that counsel relies on you to be able to understand what the witness said if they can't?
Yes.
Yes, they do that all the time.
Yes.
For some reason, you're supposed to have magic ears and you can understand an accent that no one else in the room can understand. So. Yeah.
It's helpful when the attorney also wants a clear record, so they're repeating things. And that it's a little longer, but it definitely helps in the terms of clarity.
Yes, it's so worth it when they do that, and you'll. I know you probably thought this the first time it happened. You're like, oh, I like working with this guy because he repeats it, and then I know that I heard it correctly, and I remember those jobs well too. And I remember one in particular. I had a Chinese witness and no interpreter, and I had no idea what I was listening to, and I'm just like, I'm lost here. And this was after years of experience. And I'm just like, I'm totally lost here. And every name that they said sounded like the name before it. And I was just so lost. And I'm just like, just trust your instincts, write phonetically. And so I had to go through that process. But at the end of it, I thought to myself, oh, this really should have had an interpreter. Then I got blessed with that one job where the attorney didn't get an interpreter, but they were kind enough to repeat the words back. And so you're like, okay, well, they all even themselves out over time. So, but Kelly, did you have an experience happen in this past year that was kind of eye-opening for you, or it presented a real hurdle for you or a challenge that you weren't expecting?
Yes, there's one in particular. I think that we spoke about it. It was the time when I was scheduled to do a hearing and 25 attorneys showed up.
I was there for that.
Actually, yeah, you were, weren't you?
Wow.
I was actually in a courtroom and I was immediately muted. I couldn't even ask any questions. I had no idea what was going on. I didn't know what I was what was expected of me. So I sat there and I tried to get everybody's name and I tried to get the entire transcript. They talked so fast. It went very quickly. And then I found out later, after it was all said and done, that they just wanted a half a page blurb from that hour long
proceeding.
So that was, I mean, I absolutely was panicked. Like, yes. I had no idea what was going on. And in the heat of the moment, it was like, I'm just in it. Like, let's just do this.
And I think what's helpful for our listeners to understand there is that you did not have control of your mic, that the cord actually had you muted and you couldn't say, excuse me, but I can't get this. You couldn't interrupt because no one was paying attention. Nope. And so, yeah, that helplessness. But yeah, to end up with a half a page out of all of that frustration, there was a benefit that you didn't have to relive the whole thing over again. But, you know, just to have that experience under your belt, to know that you never know when you walk into a job what it might be. And to have that many attorneys and, you know, that hurdle of just like, how am I going to identify all of these people, you know?
Right.
So, because I just had this discussion with another student this morning about the snoo and screw thing. She's a steno student, and so she's looking for speaker IDs. And I never found snoo and screw to be very helpful to me. So I always opted for the double stroking. And once I explained that to her, she's like, well, that makes perfect sense to me. I can do that. And so that's important for people to understand that when you're faced with a situation like that, where you weren't planning on 25 attorneys being a part of this job that you're on, and how am I now going to identify these people? And so you find yourself being able to think on the fly. I always tell our interns, keep a blank piece of paper beside you so that you can make a handwritten note to yourself. You can't always go back to a transcript and find a note that you wrote to yourself in a transcript. But if you have a piece of paper there, even if it's just one word, it'll trigger a memory for you to be able to go back and ask questions about later. And so, yeah, I can only imagine your heart must have been beating out of your chest, Kelly.
It was crazy. I also took, I had my phone down low and I was taking pictures of the entire screen. So I had everybody's spelling because, like I said, I wasn't sure what I was expected to produce. And I wanted to make sure I knew everybody's names. And so that was helpful too. But yeah, it was crazy. I hope to never have anything like that again. But if I do, I'll know better what to look for.
Exactly. Exactly.
I will say, I was never more grateful to be a student than when Kelly was going through that. Just because I was so confused too, and I felt so bad because I didn't know how to help in any way. And yeah, I was so grateful to not be in your shoes for one.
That's interesting because as I schedule interns for assignments, I try to find a variety of things to give you that exposure to the things that you're not anticipating. Everybody expects the red car, blue car case. And yes, you'll get some of those. But to try and give you a broader picture about what you can encounter out there, the two things I try not to put people on, dentist and divorce cases. they're just neither one very much fun. But it's just the nature of what happens with this career. You never know what you're going to face day to day.
Right.
And being able to come up with a plan at the last minute and get yourself through it. It's just awesome that you can do that.
Speaking of people within the mentorship program, or maybe still in school, do either of you have any prescient advice as they're going through these programs? You know, one piece that you think, yeah, this is it. Would have liked somebody to tell me this.
I would say when I was going through school, I used to get up like at 5 o'clock in the morning and try to get 2 or 3 hours in before anybody even woke up of practice time. And then throughout the day, I would get 2 or 3 hours more. So I wasn't sitting at a computer for, 5, 6 hours a day trying to get my practice time in. And that made all the difference in the world to me because it wasn't just sitting and sitting and sitting. It was broken up and it made it more manageable for me.
Christine?
For me, I'm a big talker already. So the practice doesn't really, there's no scheduled practice. But I do sing a lot. like to myself or, you know, in the car or to karaoke, whatever. And that, especially if you're picking faster songs, that helps train you a little bit more in terms of getting those speeds up. And I feel like you're already talking anyway. Just push yourself a little further. Make yourself talk a little faster. You know, it makes you, your brain move a little faster. So that helps you kind of convert it into your vocal cords a lot easier.
That's interesting. I would not have thought of that, but I get the connection, and I think that's awesome. I think that's good, solid advice.
Yeah, I like that idea. One other thing that I remember in school was that at our school, they focused a lot on voice codes. And I do not use a lot of voice codes where you shorten a phrase so it makes it more manageable to say. I don't use a lot of them. I do use some for phrases that are said over and over and over again. I wouldn't focus as much on the voice codes as I did in school because I don't use them as much now. If you have clear speech and you can convey it onto the paper, you don't really need them. And it kind of, it's one more thing you have to remember. So it's not something I would have focused on. If I had to do it over again, I probably wouldn't have focused so much on voice codes.
Interesting. That's helpful. Do either of you have some words of wisdom you'd like to share with our listeners before we wrap this up? A little bit of encouragement?
You got this.
There you go.
I mean, it seems so daunting and it seems so impossible. And when I got my certification in May, I was like, I'm never going to get this. And you just have to push through it and you will get it. But you have to put in some of the time, you have to put in some of the effort to be able to get through the program and to get through even Planet Institute to get more acclimated to the role itself. Because if you don't, then you're going to be drowning out there. But yeah.
Good advice. Good advice. Kelly?
I would say listen to other reporters' advice, whether that's a steno writer, a voice writer. We're all doing the same job. We're all producing the same end product. I try to read different forums on Facebook and get as much information as I can. I know not all of it's right. I know that not all of it is factual. But I think that you can gain a lot just from listening to people who have been in this business for a long time. And just try to remember that not everything you see on the internet is true or real. But you have to take some of that information and do your own research and make sure that you know kind of what you're getting into and what's real and what's not.
Well, ladies, I want to thank you for spending time with us this afternoon and for sharing your experiences with our other voice students. And I'm only looking forward to growing more with you and learning a little bit more each time we talk about your particular software and learning how well you're doing as you continue to get your experience. So thanks again for spending time with us today.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having me. Thank you.
And that's all the time we have for today. Thanks to both of our guests. Keep up the great work out there. And thank you, listeners, for joining us on this episode. We look forward to seeing you the next time on the Modern Court Reporter.